The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Justine Willis-Toms, host of New Dimensions, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM. As you know, we are living in both challenging and exciting times, prompting more people to seek new solutions and to engage life more fully. New Dimensions explores vital topics with some of the world's leading thinkers, from science and religion to politics and medicine. Join me on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and together we'll explore New Dimensions on CJSF 90.1 FM, the station that is diverse, independent, and yours.
If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
That is correct. You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Campus Community Radio from Burnaby Mountain in Vancouver. Not Vancouver. Burnaby,
Metro,
British Columbia.
Metro Vancouver.
Yes. This is Intravenous. I'm Robin.
And I'm Nat.
And you just heard a couple of pieces of music before the announcements there. We heard Corey Gulkin from the album Half Moon, track called Rhea, and Canon, Indigenous artist from the Montreal area with Dead Shopping Mall.
There are definitely a lot of them these days.
Right?
Yeah. They have quite a kind of nice vibe to them. I like them anyway. I grew up in a town that had a kind of it wasn't abandoned, but it was a shopping mall on the decline, and I always kind of liked that there was nobody there, and it had this sort of living ruin feel to it. But
yeah, it's kind of a strange phenomenon that we've created. Because there's all these go inside shopping malls that are kind of dead, and yet all of these communities that are being built with these big box drive through strip shopping complexes are it's the suburban way.
Yeah, and it's definitely eating us all alive.
You know, it's very odd. We've been talking a little bit in the program about some notable days that are listed and celebrated by the Two-Spirit LGBTQ plus community. As well as, that there's an extensive list that breaks down sexual identity and orientation and, romantic love, and
it's a real kind of almanac of genders and sexualities that you see in the wild. Or
I like that.
Maybe don't.
An almanac of what you see in the wild. Yes, it really is, and you know how that applies to the calendar itself. But also, you know, how it applies to the month of June and the fact that it's generally celebrated as Pride in most all places except for Vancouver or BC itself.
Definitely, it's sort of the North American standard month, I think, because of Stonewall. I'm not 100% certain. I believe Stonewall was in June. I really should know this as a certified gay person.
I think it was in the summer. I'm not sure if it says what the month is here.
But in Vancouver, we have a slightly different calendar, and we do it in July for...
It's the end of July, beginning of August that it happens here in Vancouver, and I was told that one of the reasons for that was that, you know, back in the early days, in the early 70s, when, you know, it all of a sudden became legal to be in a same-sex partnership, there weren't that many people who were, you know, either brave enough to be out or, you know, connected enough in their community to celebrate in a public way. And the folks across the U.S. border in Seattle and Portland and maybe other big centers as well, we would go there and they would come here, and it would create a larger framework of support for, you know, parades and marches and rallies and all of the celebrations, which totally makes sense.
Yeah, you can kind of have like two prides. You can have June Pride in Seattle and Portland, and then you can have July Pride in Vancouver and Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's kind of just stuck like glue.
It's a fun little Cascadian tradition, like a little idiosyncrasy that we still have.
Yeah, yeah. In the list that I'm looking at as, you know, notable awareness days, Pride Month is definitely marked as June. And nothing specifically for the end of July or August. Although we do see International Non-Binary People's Day, July 14th.
I should have that on my calendar as a non-binary person. I have to say I didn't know about that one. Maybe I'll get like a present or something.
It'll become a Hallmark thing. You'll be able to buy cards, and you know the capitalist machine will take complete advantage of all of these days.
I'm sure there's so many little kind of merchandise and tchotchkes that they can sell, like little postage stamps. Maybe one day.
Yeah, all the tchotchkes. Wouldn't that be great? I don't know what they would look like exactly.
Well, there's a non-binary flag. It's yellow, purple, white, black, from my memory. It's some arrangement of those colors. I actually quite like it as a flag. And I think there's probably a decent amount of merchandise out there, that kind of thing.
Well, that's the other thing, is the different flags for all of the different identities. I know that if you go to out on campus here, they probably still have, I can't see why they wouldn't still have it, but they had, I think, 9 different flags posted on a bulletin wall, and they're really they're really beautiful, and the colors and the arrangements of the colors are all different, and they all, you know, represent a certain...
The queer community is definitely not lacking for graphic designers, I get the sense.
No. No. Or color arrangers, or, you know, yeah. any of those things.
Vexillologists.
But again, you know, just for the layperson trying to keep track in their minds, what is that, you know?
The flags probably help, a kind of visual aid thing.
They might, but I think, you know, kind of like the flags of different countries, right? Like, we recognize that it's not our flag of Canada per se, but you know, being able to identify what actual flag that is for what actual group it is becomes kind of challenging.
Definitely a staple of pub quizzes going forwards. It's a very British reference, actually. I'm not sure if a pub quiz is a big thing.
We do like a lots of people play Trivial Pursuit in pubs and, you know, those kinds of things. So yeah, it could be. Yeah, I don't know how visual the pub quizzes are. I've only been to ones where they're, you know, questions that you have to conjure the answer up in your mind, or that they're music based.
That's definitely a good fit format wise.
So, yeah, I'm always terrible at them, but nevertheless.
I'm good at the history fact ones. I'm not so good at the popular culture ones.
The other sort of days that I thought were kind of interesting here, and, you know, relate to some of the things that we're talking about, you know, Pride being a June thing, but also that it's National Indigenous People's Day today. And we had spoken before we turned on the microphone about, you know, the notions of Two-Spirit, and so there's a Spirit Day, which is the third Thursday in October.
Is that related to Two-Spirit?
I'm imagining that it is. It's yeah, also it also has to do with anti-bullying. And so I think that perhaps it's like a anti-bullying.
There's
within
some kind
the
of nexus of connection there, I'm sure.
Within the community that calls themselves, you know, Two-Spirit LGBTQ plus. Because we know a lot of the reason why some of these international days of awareness have come into fashion, right, is to actually protect and remember, you know, some of the folks who are identifying, but also to, you know, try to mitigate some of the violence that that happens in the community for people not looking and behaving the way that some other folks think that we should behave and look.
Yeah, definitely. I think with recent events in the news and even around BC, it's, I think, more important to have these events and these kind of things, even though, as I mentioned, I'm not someone who's usually kind of inimical to, I guess, a lot of ceremony and calendrical days and that kind of thing. I think, it's definitely... It feels more important this year than in previous years. If you look at the kind of backlash that's happened to queer rights,
That just feels heartbreaking. And I'm sure I'm not, you know, alone in speaking those words. But, you know, that we've come so far, and then it's, you know, however many steps backwards,
yeah,
just feels it feels disheartening.
I mean, one hopes that the step forwards will follow the step backwards, but it does feel like for a while there was kind of an expectation that it would just sort of be a linear progression of an increase in acceptance, because that's sort of basically what happened with just gay rights to some extent, you know? And, you know, it was a kind of felt like a mostly linear path towards same-sex marriage getting legalized kind of around the world during the 2010s, or at least around the Western world.
Except that it took forever.
Canada got it quite early, didn't?
But in terms of process, I think, and you know, the talk of, oh, you know, this should be a thing, and I think, you know, probably for those people who were really advocating and fighting for those rights to become law, I can only imagine that it felt forever. I know that you know, at a station that I used to work at, we used to air a program called This Way Out, and it was a half an hour, you know, gay and lesbian magazine published in the States, audio magazine, and I think for years, every single week, for years, the talk was about gay marriage and, you know, how it was going to be legalized and what all the problematics were and the roadblocks and all of those things. And yes, I think Canada was a little bit more sympathetic and yeah, quick to the punch, but I think we still took our sweet time about it.
It was still quite a kind of acrimonious grind for a long time.
Yeah.
Definitely in the United States, I remember it was an extremely long-ranging kind of fight to get that legalized through the Supreme Court.
Well, and still, you know, anything that has to do with the autonomy of our bodies is and has been under fire for visibly the last year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so the fact that it feels like gay rights and, you know, these things are kind of on a step backwards.
Trans rights especially have been sort of under the main fire, but I mean it is kind of inseparable, you know. One, they are related for sure.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And the other date here is National Coming Out Day.
Which day is that?
October the 11th.
October the 11th.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big kind of hallmark in kind of like the queer life, I think. It's sort of, it's on kind of an expected life trajectory, I guess. Kind of whenever that is, that's sort of, I guess, imagined as sort of the start of the queer life, you know, the coming out.
For sure. I guess what sort of strikes me as interesting about that is that for me personally, I think I would remember that day that I came out as my own special day, like April the 15th, or, you know, like that's the day that feels like it's a special day for me, and that it to sort of nationalize it is
yeah,
it almost impersonalizes it's
a little homogenizing, I suppose. I mean, I do know people who kind of have their own little kind of personal queer calendars for, I guess, when they came out, but also maybe when they started transitioning or, you know, something like that, their own kind of little anniversaries.
Right. Yeah. And to think that, I mean, maybe maybe it also just like offers some permission for people to come out in the world, because that's the, it's like a day of allowance or something.
It's probably a nice excuse if you need, I guess a push. I mean, I've definitely known people who have sort of dithered on coming out, and it's a hard thing to make yourself do. I was personally someone who just sort of went for the plunge and didn't really think about it that much, but not everyone is so impulsive, so it's nice to have that kind of ambient backdrop, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I also think that, you know, if the people in your lives are really paying attention, it's not something that should be all that surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just me.
I have to say, my parents were clearly not paying attention. I don't know how they didn't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if my parents, you know, I kind of marvel sometimes at the clarity with which they see me, but also the clarity with which they don't.
You know? it's an interesting relation people have with their parents.
And so, yeah. Anyways, National Coming Out Day, October the 11th. There's also International Pronouns Day, the third Wednesday in October. And so, yeah, just
it's a heavy month.
A plethora of these days to celebrate all the ways that that we are invited, I want to say, to look and experience identity in such a different way than what was past and gone. So that's pretty exciting. We are coming to the end of the show, and I want to leave you with a song. Any final comments, Nat, before
It's been a good show, actually.
Great.
I was a little worried when we rocked up with not a huge amount prepared.
We came with a couple of talking points, and that was good. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!, which is coming up at 11. This is a brand new song from Janelle Monáe called Float to dance us out with here on Intravenous.
I'll show you the ropes. I used to let niggas get to me. I used to be my own enemy. Now I done had several epiphanies over some breakfast at Tiffany's. Had to forgive all my frenemies. They are not who they pretend to be. I had to protect all my energy. I'm feeling much lighter now. I float on my float on this club.
you got a cold. I'm counting my blessings, we ain't stressing, just look at this glow. I got that magic, I'm really prepared for whatever, whenever, so who wants to smoke? Came back from the future to take all y'all niggas and take all y'all hoes. They said I was bi, yeah baby, I'm bi, a whole nother coast. She stay in the hills, he stay in Atlanta, I pay for them both. My face got don't come with a limit, I swipe it, I spin it, I swear I be doing the most. Look.
The National Greening Program, run by Tree Canada, is dedicated to planting seedling trees across Canada in BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They prioritize planting on Indigenous and public lands and planting areas of natural and human-caused disturbance. The trees they plant help filter the air and water and sequester carbon.